Okay, if you would, turn to Proverbs 24, verse 30. This is the second part of a teaching entitled Symptoms and Consequences of Laziness. I taught last week. We saw three particular symptoms and consequences of laziness. And, you know, there is a lot in the Proverbs about laziness. The word in the Proverbs uses the word sluggard and sloth. And those are two really, particularly a slug is really an abominable creature. When I was a kid, you know, I don't remember, I don't grovel around in the dirt much now. But when I was a kid, it seemed like you always were in touch with the insect world. And I remember slugs, ugly little things. They'd leave a little slime behind them. And then sloths are these weird creatures that hang upside down for 18 hours a day sleeping. Lazy animals. And the Bible uses these creatures as a type of people who are lazy. And there's a lot. You ought to do a Bible study sometime in the Proverbs on sluggishness and slothfulness. And that's what we're looking at. Last week we saw all of these start with C. The first three consequences and symptoms of laziness was they're covetous dreamers, chronic wasters, and champion excuse makers. That was last week, part one. Today, Proverbs 24, verse 30 reads, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And look at the field. It was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered it and a stone wall was broken. Mamas, you could liken this. I went by the room of the teenager. And lo, it was all undone. And the bed was thereof was unmade. And the clothes thereof was scattered round about on the floor. Verse 32. And I looked and I considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as the one travails and your want as an armed man. So the next type is the symptom and consequence of laziness today. The first one is a chief procrastinator. Okay? A lazy person never gets around. This guy, he had a vineyard. Okay, when he probably started the vineyard, probably had a nice stone wall all tilled and everything ordered out and grapes all lined out on their trellises. But he got lazy. He got didn't want to go out every day and, you know, pull out the weeds. Didn't want to bother when there was cracks in the wall. And over time, it fell apart. So this proverb writer, the psalmist, the proverbist, walked by and said, oh, I'm discerning things about the owner of this vineyard. It's all sloppy and broken down. I'm discerning something by the character of the vineyardman. And it is, he is a procrastinator. He probably said, well, I'm going to get to the vineyard tomorrow. I understand the wall is beginning to fall down. You know, we saw last week, listen to this verse. How many of we have homeowners here? Who owns a home? Raise your hand. I have to raise mine. Folks, listen to this. By much slothfulness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, your house drops through. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. So, you know, along with home ownership comes responsibility. Can you hear an amen? One thing to pay rent and call the landlord and say, look, you know, the ceiling is falling apart, the sheetrock, this. But when you own the home, this is your joy, the glories and the joys of home ownership. I want to say I really appreciate Mr. Bo Fisher's support here. He's a man of many talents and means, and he's also learned the principle of delegation. How many of y'all know Bo's learned the principle of delegation? All right. Well, there is this window back in that back room to the left, which Darlene, we now call classroom number two. Even nursery's going to be a classroom? Okay, Darlene is taking over my naming and the church here. Okay, so classroom three. If you look in the window, the sheetrock is coming apart because we've had a perpetual leak there since the time we moved in this church. We've tried everything. And I went in there the other day and I told Bo, I said, Bo, we got to do something. Because those things don't just get better. How many of y'all know that I'm not going to walk in one day and find the sheetrock is fixed? It's just little pixies came in the night and made it all nice. No, what happens? This proves the evolution is not true. Things do not go from bad to better. Amen? There's this principle called entropy in the universe. Everything falls apart. Is that true? I've noticed that's happening with me. Everything seems to be falling apart. I got in my Corolla the other day, okay? 2000 Corolla. I like my car. Oh, guess what? I go and grab the door handle, and it comes off in my hand. Okay, so I had to put it back together. Well, it works now, but it doesn't work as good. It's loose. And I thought, this is an old car. It's beginning to fall apart. Things around the house, little things. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How about your body? Is that true with your body? It just don't operate like it does when you were younger. Well, folks, a lazy person never gets around to repairing things. The car breaks down, they won't change their oil. Do you know one time? Years ago, I had a word of knowledge from the Holy Ghost in the middle of a service that someone needed to change the oil in their car. Was that you? Because had they not, they would have thrown a rod that very day. Okay. You know, it's really important to maintain and keep clean the things you own. Can you hear an amen? It's just talking about the natural, practical things of life. A procrastinator, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. Folks, now is the day of salvation. Now's the day to do stuff. Amen? Or at least I really believe you ought to have a planner. I don't know about you, but I can't exist without a planner. In fact, the other day, my life about fell apart. My PDA phone broke. And I mean to tell you, I was out in the middle of a field walking in circles, did not know what to do. Just was gone. And then, lo, a light shone from heaven. And I remembered I had another PDA. So I was back. Well, unfortunately, the one I have to turn back in, so I'm going to get another phone. But the point was, the reason I like these little devices, I don't know how I lived without it before, frankly, is obviously, remember, I need to fix the door handle on my car. In fact, that was on my things to do yesterday, fix door handle. My wife had been bugging me for a week, 2 weeks, about fixing her wheel covers, because when I put them on wrong, and they were beginning to fall off, and she said, have you fixed my wheel covers yet? I said, I'll put it in my PDA. And so she said, have you fixed? I said, Sherry, it's in my PDA, see? For Saturday, I'm going to do it Saturday. There, she saw it. Okay, it's on the PDA. So I got it done. Folks, it's really important to have order. You know what? Slothful people confuse dreaming with planning. They think just because I'm dreaming about it, I'm going to plan. No, you have to apply and plan things. Amen? All right. Anyway, so ultimately, when you don't take care of things, you end up throwing good money after bad. People are lazy people are too lazy to upkeep, too lazy to keep their house and yard looks sloppy, and they'll always wait till tomorrow. So, that's the first thing. We're going to look at three today. The first is a cheap procrastinator. Let the conviction of God fall where it will. Let's look at the next. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The next one says, the sluggard, now here again we're looking at a slug, which is basically a sluggard is a snail. A homeless snail. Okay? He doesn't have his home on his back. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Now, I've shared this before. I was a city boy. I don't know a whole lot about farm living. But I do know this, that what you sow, you reap. And before you sow, you need to plow. You got to break up the fallow ground. And often it needs to be done early part of the day. You don't wait to the heat of the sun when the ground is hard. You have to get up early. Well, the sluggard says, look, it's just too early, too cold, pulls a sheet over his head and goes back to sleep. Maybe somehow the seed will mysteriously get in the ground, so maybe the ground will just break up on itself. I don't have to get out there and plow. Well, that just isn't the way the universe works. So he begs and harvests. Come harvest time, when everyone else is harvesting their crops, he's looking at this field that desperately needed plowing, but he was too lazy to do it, so he becomes a beggar. Now, hear me out. A beggar. So this is the next one. It is a crafty con artist. A lot of lazy people, what they lack in diligence, they make up with con. A crafty, they're so lazy they won't work. They don't want to work up their work. They will like to live off of others. They like to be enabled by others. So what it is, they learn to beg. Now, you know, you got your all kinds of levels of beggars. You have your raw beggars who stand on the side of the road, you know, will work for food. You ever seen those guys with a sign? There was this one guy over there off of 59 in Shepherd. About years ago, I used to go by off that exit all the time for one reason or another. Went to a store over there or something. And I saw this one guy, he worked this corner. He was right there off the feeder off of 59 in Shepherd. Will work for food. So this was in the early days of me owning the Elaine house, and we always had a lot of work around the house. So I rolled the window down and said, dude, I will be glad to pay you and hire you to come do some work in my house. Do you know what that guy did? He laughed at me. He said, are you kidding? He says, I make 15 bucks an hour standing here. And I thought, you know what? I have to admire you. You're the first honest beggar I've ever met. Amen? That was a con job. We'll work for food. It should have been, we'll beg for money. I actually saw one guy, it was great, and I wanted to give him money. It said, want beer. It said, I want money for beer. I thought, well, at least he's honest, right? He didn't say food, I mean, because that's probably where most, I didn't give him money. But I wanted to commend him because at least he was being honest about where the money was going. You know, then you have other levels of beggars. You know, the scripture says in Psalm 37, did you know the scripture talks about begging, that a believer doesn't need to beg? Let me give you this reference. Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young, and now I'm old, and yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, God, it is a curse to have to beg. The Bible says that the borrower is slave to the lender. It's a curse to have to beg, to have to get to the point where we have to, God never intended we have to beg for stuff. That's a curse. And a lot of times when one gets to that point, it's indicative of the fact that they're lazy. They won't work. Now, you know, I will grant you, there's a certain percentage of legitimate homeless people out there. I will grant that. But I would submit there's a lot of people out there, they're dysfunctional because they just are lazy. Or they're alcoholics and they want to live off the land. So, a crafty con artist. Then you have more, let's say, middle class beggars. Okay. Maybe not living off the street, living under a bridge, but just con artists. Just always looking for the easy way. Always looking for the quick buck. People that will spend half, you know, a significant amount of their salary on a lotto tickets. You know, hoping, look, they have no clue. The odds. 26 million to one. They've messed with that lotto system, by the way. It used to be just 16 million to one. Now it's 26 million to one. People have no fathom what that means. And yet it's a con. People always looking to get around working, always running for the fast buck. You know, there is so much out there on the internet. Or if you ever watch, I know during the day, they were on late at night at 2 or 3 in the morning, they'll have these infomercials. And it's always about how you can make all this money. What I've noticed in the internet now, these full pages in the newspaper, on eBay, you can make all this money on eBay. Everybody's becoming millionaires on eBay. And I always think, well, if that's true, why are you advertising in the paper about it? Why are you not taking that money and putting it on eBay? By the time it gets to that level, it's a con. There was a way to make a lot of money, but when it gets down to the level where they're offering everybody, folks, the deal's over. Now it's for the suckers who are going to get it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's the suckers out there. They pull a lot of people just for $3.99. I heard about business lady, just for $13,000 on the radio. For a minimum payment of $13,000, you can have your own home-based internet wireless system, and whoever around you will send you checks. And you think, give me a break. You know, there was a window when that was true. But now, the window's gone. Now they're going for the suckers. Do you understand how this works, folks? Who was it that P.T. Barnum said about suckers? Crafty con artists. They cultivate a slick tongue. You know, some of these con artists are so slick. I like this. They can get sympathy out of a brick wall. Look at Proverbs 13:4. About the crafty con artist. Any of y'all know anybody like that? And they use people. They prey on people. Sherry and I were talking about a person we know. We've been in contact with it. A gentleman who he's a very slick, attractive, handsome, personable guy, and he gravitates to women, and he gets women to like him, and he lives off the women until they finally read his mail. They kick him out, and he goes to find another woman. And they came out. You know what I'm talking about? There's people, men that do that, women that do that, men. What they call them? Gold diggers. Just go live with a man until they. It's folks. It's a con. It's laziness. It's sin. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent will be made fat. You know, the soul of a sluggard, they wish and desire. Psalm 27 says, one thing I've desired, and that will I seek after. It involves getting out, putting initiative. You know, the whole thing about faith is works. Oh, I wish I was saved. I want to be saved. I wish God would come through for me. Give me a break. Call upon the name of the Lord. You have to do something. Amen? Faith works. Put a little energy and effort in there. You know, Jesus severely rebuked a guy that was lazy. He said he gave one guy 5 talents. Remember that parable in Matthew 25? One guy 3 talents and one guy 1. And the guy went 5. He went out, was industrious, and he took risks, and he traded, and he created 5 more. He was an entrepreneur. The 3 created. But the one guy, I was afraid, and I knew you were a hard man, and so I hid your talent in the sack. Here it is. He said, you wicked and slothful servant, be cast out. It is slothfulness is wickedness, according to that verse in Matthew 25. Look at verse 11 of Proverbs 13. He says, wisdom gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. I'm sorry, wealth gotten by vanity. Diligence will keep you from having to mooch. How many of y'all ever heard of a moocher? Always mooching off of people. Always wanting to borrow this. I remember years ago, before I was saved, I used to smoke. And this aggravated me to no end. Okay, I was a smoker with integrity. I was. I bought my own cigarettes. Seriously, I bought them. There they were 23 cents a pack. I'm telling you, it was a long time ago. Okay? And I would have my own cigarettes. But there would always be these guys that would mooch off you. Hey, can you blow me a cigarette, man? And it would make me mad. So, you know, the moochers would come. So I can remember taking my cigarettes and putting them in my pocket here so the mooch wouldn't see me have them. Now, that's just an example of how people, certain people, they always want to feed. You know, it's like these parasitical plants. You know, there are certain plants that are parasites. What is it? Moss? What else is another parasitical plant? Did you know, what is it that people kiss under at Christmas? Mistletoe. That's a parasite. You don't find a mistletoe plant. Okay, it feeds off of an eye. You know, there are creatures like that. They're called mosquitoes and ticks. They're parasites. They suck the blood of the host. That's what, how many of y'all know people that like mosquitoes and ticks and parasites? They just connect to you like cancers. Leeches, there it is. I've had leech people. We've had people, the leeches, come to the ministry. Well, I'd spot leeches right away. Okay. They merely look like a person. Okay. But they have a leech inside of them. I'm serious. And you know, Satan will send leeches to you. Because out of guilt or false sympathy or no emotional guilt, you'll spend time with the leech. Well, you're pouring good time after bad, and when you could be serving someone who has a legitimate need. So you get smart after a while. We're to be lenders and not borrowers. Like I said, Proverbs 22:7 says a borrower is slave to the lender. So again, a crafty con artist. Folks, be very wise out there. The world is always, always out there trying to sell you some deal, trying to con you into some deal. Don't believe it. Don't buy it. The way it works is if you got it real easy, you're going to lose it real easy. You understand? Easy come, easy go. No, the way it works is he that sows diligently. For instance, in investing, I talk all the time. I love my business because I'm into investment. I tell people there's a difference between raw speculation and investment. You can go out there and just like take a bus to Lake Charles to these casinos, you know, How many elderly people will take their Social Security check, go down there to the casino, and just gamble away their money? It's and speculating and wild gambling. Whereas I'm a believer that the wisdom of investing is the way wealth is really built is over time, wise monthly investing. And there's scriptures about that. There's scriptures that talk about it. Go to the ant, you sluggard, and look at the ant who gathered during the harvest in preparation for the winter. The prudent man foresees the evil and prepares himself. But there's a mindset, a lot of people are lazy. You know, our culture, America, was built on hardworking pioneers. Our culture was built on people that understood the meaning of a dollar. You know, what this 5-cent cigar needs was a good country, somebody once said. You know, but what's happened is a spirit has come in our culture, frankly, in the last generation. Okay, it's a entitlement mindset. There's a mindset of we are a minority, we are entitled to things, and it's socialism. Basically, it's socialism. The philosophy of socialism politically is that those who have ought to give to those who have not. But that's one thing to do that, but when the government mandate steals from the poor, it's a Robin Hood, steals from the rich to give the poor, it doesn't work. Okay? God wants us to give, but not for a government to take through high taxation to give. And now it's called socialism. And I have seen the penultimate result of socialism. I have been to Cuba, and it is a nightmare. Nobody has anything. Okay, we're all even. We're all poor. We're all starving. And we all want to get in the shark-infested waters and try to get to Florida. Okay, that's the result of socialism. And it's an entitlement mindset. Thank God there is vestiges, fortunately, of majority in our country that are opposing socialism, have kept that demon from ruling in our country. But it's always there. It's a notion, and I think it's demonic. It's a demonic notion that I can get something without having to pay for it. I can get it off of somebody else. It's theft. Really, it's theft. It's stealing. Are y'all with me today? Proverbs chapter, now the last one for today, Proverbs 10:4. The last one, hang on. He went ahead. Okay, careless worker. My computer guy went ahead, but we'll work. Proverbs 10 verse 4 says, he becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent will make rich. Okay, the last symptom of this teaching today is a careless worker. A lazy person. Look at verse 26 of that same chapter. As vinegar to the teeth, as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard that sends him. You know what that means? You ever walk next to a campfire and you get the smoke in your eyes? Or vinegar. Vinegar hits your teeth. It kind of makes you, you know, what, you're sour. It's how a sluggard. You just kind of, you send the person that's lazy to go do something. You're sitting there wondering if they got it done. You're just distracted by the notion of they're not faithful. You don't know whether they just fell asleep on the way, got there and forgot everything they needed to know. You know, pity the employer who has sluggards on the payroll. A sluggard will cut corners, drag feet, come in late, dilly-dally, watch the clock, always on the break, always on a coffee break, always talking to the other employees. They're a pain to the employer, unfair to the other employees, and they have a smug attitude. Anybody worked around somebody like that? It's a curse. One time I was a manager of a school before, it was BP, before Pastor. And I had 31 employees, and I was the principal manager of this school for IT&T. And, Lord, I did it for a year, got the renewal, and went back into sales. it was because of the nature of these employees. Certain of these employees, their attitude was, if I did not grant them what they wanted, they would write me up and report me to the EEOC, the Employment Opportunity Commission. Okay. Then there was another employee who was doing cocaine on the side and stealing stuff from his own classroom. Okay. Then I had another employee. He was one of my outside sales we were generating. He would go off and get in his car, find a park under a tree and sleep half the day and come back and come. And we finally figured out, you know, I dealt with this. How many of y'all have ever worked with employees? You know what I'm talking about? And it was a pain. It was very grievous to me. And yet, you know, to be honest with you, for every bad one, I had like 6 or 7 good ones. Hard workers, you know, faithful, committed. You know who I ended up? This was really cool. There was one lady, she was like a grandma lady. Her name was Cora. She was a black lady. And I really liked Cora. And she'd never had a shot, but she was the most faithful. She was just one of the lowly employees there. She was the most faithful one of my employees. She was about, at the time, I was like in my late 30s, and she was in her late 40s, early 50s. But she was so faithful and so good. Do you know when it came time that I got, it was a federal-funded program on the JTPA under Ronald Reagan, and to run this business for IT&T. When I got the re-up of the federal funding for the next year, I went to my regional boss out of Indianapolis, and I said, I'm leaving. I'm retiring. I'm going to go over to Control Data. I had a really good job over there selling software and hardware. I said, I'm going to leave. I said, can I make a her name was Jeanette. I said, Jeanette, there's a lady on staff I would like to recommend take over the management. She said, who? I said, Cora. She said, you're kidding. I said, no. And I told her all the reasons. Cora, I said, she was the most faithful employee. And so, you know, I found out a month or two later, guess who became the new manager? Cora did. Isn't that cool? Because she was faithful in the little. I recognize. And you know what? She was an excellent manager. Because she was really good at just what was hers. I recognized she would be. And sure enough, she came in and she had the finesse and the wisdom to manage the company. She was not lazy. Look at Proverbs 21:25. This verse or one more will be done. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the slothful kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. You know what? Slothful people have smug attitudes that work is evil. They avoid it like a plague. It's the last resort to eating. They hate to submit to a boss. They hate to put out the effort or be responsible. When the chips are down, so is the sluggard. They cave under pressure. They're incompetent, inefficient, and unproductive. They cheat, lie. They're dishonest to the employer. And they wonder why they never get promoted. It's getting quiet in here. Amen. There is a lot in the Proverbs about this. My point I want to make today is it is wicked in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord gives us things. He wants to be faithful with what he's given us. Can I, amen? He wants us to be diligent. If the problem is you're tired, then go to bed early. Why sleep? You know, get good rest. Eat good. Don't eat as much junk. Eat more efficiently. Daily. God gives us this body so we can treat it right and we can be an efficient. You know what? When you're saved, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. We're really not. We're his, and he's called us to produce fruit. You know, we really are the employee of the Lord. He's our employer. Amen? And we're to be good stewards of what he's given us. And the day is going to come, we will be held accountable. Unto whom much is given, of them shall be much required. The last place we're going to look now in conclusion, 1 Thessalonians 4, to tie this up today for this second part. 1 Thess 4, verse 11. You ready? Paul says to the Thessalonians, study to be quiet, do your own business, work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. You know, in the second epistle, you know what Paul said? He said, if any man would not work, neither let him eat. You say, well, how mean? How unloving. No. They were not a socialist organization. They believed everybody could do their part. Maybe you couldn't do a whole lot, but what you could do, you could do. I actually experienced this when I first went to the Christian, the Episcopal Charismatic Community of Church of the Redeemer in 1975. I showed up there on January 18th, 1975. I'd been known the Lord a few years, and this was this great world-renowned community. 40 communal households, hundreds and hundreds of people living, totally shared lives. I showed up at the doorstep, ready to serve, ready to join this wonderful community, had no idea what I was doing. And I walked up to one of the elders. His name was Jim Crow. Remember that? Chloe. Jim Chloe. Chloe. And I walked up to him standing, in fact, it was the Tellepsons' funeral. Y'all know that Tellepsons' exit over here? Tellepson is one of these old contracts, and he actually, there's a Tellepson Street over here. He died, and it was his funeral at Redeemer, because he's actually the one who built that church. So I'm standing at the steps of the church, and I went up to Jim Close, one of the big elders, and I said, wow, I want to, you know, I was kind of goggle-eyed. I want to be part of this community. I'll never forget the elder turned around and says, well, do you have a job? I said, no, I came from Beaumont because I just want to, you know, part of the community. He said, well, you need to get a job, son. I thought, I need a job. I'm here to serve Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that was my attitude. And he said, well, come on down to the church tomorrow. We'll talk to you. So I met with two elders, and I sat down with them, and I walked in, and man, they were not all nice and kind. They just sat me down. I want to be part of this community. And they looked at me and said, well, you're working? I said, well, no, I told the guy yesterday I don't have a job. Well, you need to get a job. I said, well, why don't I need a job? I want to serve the Lord in the community. They said, because we work. We believe in working. So finally, one of them said, and they talked to me a while, they said, tell you what, we have a household for you. So they put me in one of the households. It was over on Jefferson Street. I remember I was there for a few weeks. And so I move in this household. There's like 15 people in there, and I'm back in the back apartments. You know, all right, I'm in community. And then at 5:15 the next morning, they wake me up, and they had morning prayer. Okay, I can handle that. So we went downstairs, and we had coffee, and we had morning prayer, and we sang. And then everybody began to go to work. And the head of the house said, well, you going down with everybody to the maintenance crew? The what? The maintenance crew. So I went down to the church. Well, guess what? They put me on the maintenance crew. By 6:45 that morning, I'm mopping floors. I'm thinking, this isn't why I came to Redeemer. I came to experience the community. And they had me mopping floors. By mid-morning, I'm cleaning toilets. All day, I'm vacuuming and cleaning and mopping and doing this. And so finally, at the end of the day, I get home. And guess what? I get home, we sit down. They said, oh, what are you doing sitting down? We got chores. Well, there's 15 people here. There's always stuff to do, right? Fix the meal, clean up the meal. I mean, by the end of the day, I'm exhausted. This was my first day at Redeemer Community. All I did was work. Well, you know what? I stayed there 11 years. Because I understood they were living out the reality. If you don't work, you don't eat. And you know, lazy people didn't end up in those communities. They kicked them. People came all the time like that. They won't work. They're gone. As a result, we had a productive, meaningful. Folks, let me tell you. Paul told the Colossians, in conclusion, there's a wonderful verse, and I'll just quote it to you. He said, listen, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that of the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Can there an amen? Let's pray. Lord, I pray today that wherever we were convicted by these scriptures today, that your Holy Ghost would convict us and we would repent of passive, lazy, presumptuous, assumptive, sluggish and slothful ways, and we would be faithful and good stewards of what you've given us, so you would smile upon us and give us our heart's desire, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You want to bless our life. You've just created the universe such that whatever we sow is what we reap. Lord, forgive us for the notion that there's a cheap ride and we can cut corners and con our way through life. Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving us the truth. And everybody said,